Good evening, everybody. Welcome to episode 11 of The Fan Experience. I'm your host, Mike Kados. Alongside me is my co-host, Rick Molina. Rick, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well, Mike. How's it going? A fun weekend of sports, so let's get to it.
Yeah, absolutely. NBA playoffs continued. NHL playoffs are now into round two. The Lakers, started off down one game to nothing, and they just came back and won three straight and in demanding fashion. Damian Lillard got a little banged up, so it helped the Lakers a little bit, but, I think there was maybe a spirit, hanging out around the team, because as we all know, Kobe Bryant's, the late, great Kobe Bryant, his birthday passed this weekend, and yesterday was 824, and those were the two numbers that he wore in the league, and they now have declared it Kobe Bryant Day. So I think Kobe might be playing a hand from above over there, and the Lakers did not want to get embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs. Kobe, it's been what 7 months now, and it's, yep. That was a tragic day, for Kobe, his daughter, and everyone else that was involved. And, we truly lost one of the legends of the game, and it's still hard, 7 months later. Yep. But let's see if the Lakers can bring in a title and, put it in to his honor. And, you mentioned to me about, them renaming a street after him on the way to the Staples Center. So, talk to me about, you and, your memories of Kobe.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the viewers for watching tonight. It's funny. As the months have gone on since the passing of the great Kobe Bryant, the stories that come out about him, how he touched so many people, how he worked with so many players, behind the scenes, what he was doing with the league, it really surprised me how involved he was with other players in the league, trying to coach him up, trying to be, like big brother to them, like his relationship with Kyrie Irving, his relationship as a little brother to Michael Jordan. Allen Iverson wrote something touching, I believe it was yesterday, about Kobe Bryant, but it was so striking to me, the impact that it really had in the league, And I remember when he passed in January, I was sitting on my couch. I was just so, I couldn't believe it. Like you grew up with Kobe Bryant, like Kobe Bryant from when he got out of high school till, his passing, like he was part of your childhood if you were growing up, or he was part of your adolescence as you were growing up. And it was such a big part of our lives that when we lost him, I mean, it was almost like, your innocence was robbed. And so in talking about the Lakers today, I do believe that Kobe's watching over them. Like I said, I believe the Lakers are going to win the title. I think they're the best team. But his legacy is just overwhelming. What he did after basketball in the world, in the NBA, with his movie production, he started a investment fund. Like all the things he has done, the legacy that he has left is incredible, and I think they were watching over him because the Lakers were down 1-0. They just looked like lifeless, They looked like they were just going through the motions, and something clicked in them, after that game one. And I don't know if it was Charles Barkley saying they were going to get swept, or people thinking that the Lakers just didn't have it in them to win the title. Like they looked, it seemed a little off, but something's clicked in them. And I think, with Kobe Bryant, they obviously on the 24th, and that I think they're going to win the title for him. I think they're going to win it for this family, for the Lakers. But I think it's just it'll be touching. It'll be the fitting end to this season if the Lakers can win the title in honor of the late, great Kobe Bryant. And, yeah, as you said, they're going to rename Figueroa Street after him. I don't know what the name is going to be, but it's the right thing to do, and it's long overdue, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on the legacy, and what he was doing for the girls, his daughter, yeah, obviously being a girl dad himself, but yeah, everything, even the first round pick this year, played a big part in her upbringing. Absolutely. and her Sabrina Ionescu, she, yeah, she was learning from Kobe, and he had that, that basketball program, the Mamba basketball program that, his daughter was in, and, tons of other, amazing athletic girls, you know, three of which unfortunately were on the chopper that day.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, that legacy is going to live on, and you know, you just remember as a kid, you know, like you're a little older than me, but you know, like when we play schoolyard basketball, you know, you take that shot and you yell Kobe, you know,
and yeah,
that's just what you did back then. And certainly a heavy loss, and you know, just wanted to touch on him, you know, even though it's been 7 months, but
no, absolutely.
Since his birthday just passed,
yeah,
you know, we gotta remember him for what he gave the game of basketball and a lot of other things. It wasn't just for basketball. You know, there's a legacy all over the place that he left his fingerprints on. And you know, thank you, Kobe. And
yeah, thank you, Kobe.
Rest in peace to you know, yeah, to Kobe, his daughter, and you know, everyone else that was lost that day.
And you know, just to touch on that, what he left, you know, the Mamba mentality, how it's become like this mantra now. Like everybody talks about their focus and their dedication, and they go back to Kobe and the Mamba mentality. And you've started to see over the few months the intensity and the work that this man put in to be great. You know, nothing would stop him. Nothing would be, you know, no obstacle was big enough for him to just overcome and get to where he wanted to be. And I think, you know, that's the lasting legacy of Kobe Bryant, that no matter what's in front of you, you can knock it down, you can overcome it. And as long as you focus, you can get to where you want to be. So like you said, you know, the late great Kobe Bryant, thank you for everything you've done for us and the legacy you've left.
Yeah, absolutely. The work ethic for sure.
Yeah.
You know, definitely leaves something to be admired. And, you know, hopefully we learn a couple lessons from him and, you know, we all get better. You know, what the Mamba mentality is, you know, just to be better the next day than you were the day before.
So, exactly.
You know, that's his parting words there. So, I mean, let's touch on a little bit more of the NBA playoffs. So, you know, Dallas is looking pretty good as well. Luka with that
step back three.
Ice cold step back three. It was it was a thing of beauty. You know, I mean, hey, maybe it was Kobe over there too, because it's the same. It's the same arena for everybody.
So exactly. Yeah.
He might be playing a factor on all of them.
Yeah.
What else we got? So NHL, you know, the Islanders advance, you know, calling you out there, Scotty, you know, Islanders. And they also, you know, took game one. We got a couple of series. We got the Bruins up 1-0, Golden Knights up 1-0 in the series, and Dallas Stars up 2-0. So, you know, well underway here in round two. And Islanders, you know, won 4-0 last night. So that's it's pretty good. You know, Scotty ain't getting a ring, but you might get an Islanders Stanley Cup. Let's see if this could play out here.
Well, listen, for New York, they think that'd be great if the Islanders can win a cup. And for Long Island as a whole, I mean, that area of New York has been starving for a championship. I mean, the Nassau Coliseum, obviously. For those of you who don't know New York, Nassau Coliseum is out in Eastern Long Island. It's out in Long Island, and it's an old venue. It's full of history, and the Islanders haven't had a winning season, haven't had a Stanley Cup since, I think, 1983. So we're talking almost 37 years. So if they can bring a championship to New York, especially a Stanley Cup title, I think that'd be great. I think it'd be great for the community, because I think they're looking to build a new stadium over there or a new arena over there, and they've just revitalized the area so well. So we wish the Islanders luck. Getting back to the NBA, you know what's funny, man? You know, we look at the NBA, especially in the West, I don't think any of us saw Dallas coming. Like, we knew they got Porzingis, but he was kind of injured, right? Like, you had Luka, and you had this great talent. But Boban, he's just a monster with the pick and roll over there. And, you know, if it wasn't for these injuries, Porzingis getting hurt or getting kicked out in game one, these injuries, like these sort of fluky things that are happening to him, I mean, you could look in at Dallas as a serious contender for this title. You know, they're playing the Clippers right now, and you know, I know the Clippers are favored, but look out for Dallas, man. I mean, they're looking really strong, and if they can get some momentum rolling and find a way to win this series, I mean, listen, I picked the Lakers, but I wouldn't want to play them. I mean, how do you match up with them? You know, I don't know how you defend them, but I don't know. So it's going to be interesting what happens out West, out East. Obviously, you know, the 76ers got bombed. They're gone. You know, the Heat, obviously, the top team.
Swept.
Yeah, they swept. They're a top team out there. Celtics are tough. So it's going to be interesting as the next rounds come up. But for me, the eye opener was just the Mavericks and the firepower that they have over there. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I know Marky Mark is going to.
Oh, 100%.
Mark Cuban, we want you on the show.
Mark, if you can come on, just share quick 20 minutes with us.
Quick shout out there. Yeah. All right. So, you know, we talked about the Islanders and, you know, bringing the title to New York. New York has lacked on titles for quite a bit now. But our next guest is a fan of a city that has won quite a few titles in the last couple of decades. Oh, and he's backstage counting on his fingers. So let's bring him on. We're bringing on Steve McGrath. He is the host of Beyond the Helmet podcast. Steve, how are you?
What is up, gentlemen? I think you need me because all this talk about New York and maybe the Islanders making – I mean, you need a reality check, and I'm happy to provide it.
Oh, is that well? Let's hear about that reality check because Boston Red Sox aren't looking good right now. The Seas are a little iffy.
All four teams every year in the playoffs. I mean, it's a little much. So every once in a while, you got to have someone just take a step back, relax, regroup. So you know what? This year, they're not carrying the load. You know, we put it up. Patriots, don't worry about them. They're going to be there. So okay. Right now, concentrating on the two playoffs that are going on, I like my odds. I like the show.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. Got a ways to go. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm not wearing any Red Sox gear, though. I can promise you that.
Go ahead, Mike. I froze. Oh, yeah, you froze. Listen, I had to rock the Yankee hat. I had to put it on.
Of course you did. So, you know, you said that, you know, you grew up pretty much from birth rooting for all the Boston teams. But, you know, was there any... there any, you know, moments that you experienced that were just like, you know, iconic for, you know, watching your Boston teams? I mean, was it 2004?
For sure. So, I mean, born and raised in New England, literally Foxborough, Mass. I could throw a football a couple times and hit the stadium. I mean, that close. So that being said, I truly remember the first when it all came together, when it all started. I mean I was always football first, so when I watched Patriots, this kid Tom Brady, the greatest show, I mean, that was amazing. I still remember that, and never would have imagined that, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, okay, so like you just get there every year, like it just happens like that.
Yeah.
And actually, to be completely honest, what I remember most about those early, like when I'm 10, you know, early teenager, I remember watching the Red Sox games, particularly with David Ortiz taking it into extras against the Yankees. Like, it wasn't even the World Series, but like I remember staying up with my dad to 1-2 o'clock in the morning. And like, he's not a big sports guy, but like even he was kind of caught up in it. And like that, more than anything, for me, kind of set the tone of like what sports could do at an early age. It didn't matter really the sport. It was what it did to the people that really cared about it. And I mean, I love competing and playing, but when you get on the fan side of it, I mean, like, how are you not hooked?
Yeah, absolutely. It just brings everyone together. You know, it's just this thing that takes on a life of its own when you're, especially at, you know, place as iconic as Fenway Park. Like, you know, you could just feel it when you walk into that place. You know, you feel hundreds, you know, 100 years of history when you walk in. You know, and it's but I must say, though, there was a question on our questionnaire. You know, tell us about the ups and downs of rooting for your favorite teams. And you go, I'm a Boston fan. There are no downs.
There are no downs. Sometimes you have to reload. It is what it is. But for the right, I have my Tom Brady Buccaneers shirt on.
I noticed that. So.
Listen, Boston through and through, but I mean, you don't become the GOAT and then have everyone turn your back on you because you leave like, I am ride or die with that guy just as much the team. So I just want to, one thing from doing the podcast that I've certainly come around more on is I am for the players. I love my teams, but at the end of the day, it's the players themselves that I ultimately like, can agree with, can disagree with, can even not like. And who you guys were talking about earlier, Kobe Bryant. Growing up a Celtics fan, my first love was basketball. I really swung towards football, but I watched Kobe in some bad Celtics teams, and I watched them battle through the Antoine Walker, Paul Pierce days to eventually be able to like, okay, we'll you know take on this Kobe Bryant team. And I mean, I hated him. Oh, I hated him so hard. But then as I got older and I respected and you know really came to grips with who he was as a competitor, what a talent he was, his mindset. He's the only enemy that I've completely turned around and been like, yes, I'm ride or die with that guy. I don't care who he's playing for. Can't say that about any other person from LA or New York, but Kobe Bryant absolutely won me over with how he approached everything.
Yeah, you know, Steve, you were talking about Tom Brady. Obviously, you're a big Boston or Patriots fan. But tell our viewers, you know, for us who are in New York, you know, we know Tom Brady's big. Obviously, he's the GOAT. But tell us what he means to the people of Boston, the area of New England, all over up north, north from us here in New York.
I mean, you can't. So just right. If I'm 10 years old.
Freeze on you.
Yeah. There he is.
Okay.
Oh, sorry about that.
Good.
From 10 years old on, right? If you're going to do anything social, you're going to middle school, going on to high school, like the jerseys are just everywhere. It's literally a part of the background is seeing 12. Like it doesn't matter. Girls, boys, adults, children, teachers, strangers, they're everywhere. So, I mean, it's literally the 12 shirt is a backdrop to basically growing up around here. So because of COVID, right, we're not doing as much outside. I can't really say if I would see it as often as I normally would. But, I mean, he was larger than life. I mean, literally every girl that I have ever known followed him on social media, just like every guy I ever knew followed his every move on social media. I mean, the guy is literally as big as it gets.
That's incredible. And when he left, what was the obviously the reaction was heartbreaking over there and people were distraught. But tell us what the feeling was like when he announced that he was leaving at Tampa Bay and moving on to the next chapter of his life.
So I definitely don't consider myself a hardcore fan in that I'm very realistic. Now, based off my tone, maybe you don't believe that, but that's how much I believe in the teams.
Yep.
I also pay attention. So when you know that he's not showing up in the offseason, you know that there's some tension between him and that coach that we have up here. And there's the contract, like that they're not extending him. Like, you know, something's weird and something had more or less been brewing for years for it to get to that point. It's not like he got a top of the line offer and said, no, thank you. He took the best money available to get out. And get out of like a pretty oppressive regime. And that oppressive regime breeds winners. So he is a winner. So I can understand being 20 years in a system and being like, you know what? There's no taxes in Florida. It's a little bit nicer in the winter. Like, I'll 20 years here. Like, yeah, just let me see what I have left and go play. Like, absolutely, man. You gave us everything. No one could ever imagine more from a player. By all means. For me, that was a no-brainer. Most of the guys I talked to were a little upset. It kind of felt like he was a little checked out last year, and I certainly felt that way. So when you're more fandom than reality-based, you're probably a little pissed that it ended the way it did because you would have liked to have seen him go out on top or have him feel like it was more invested. But at the end of the day, I think most people really blame the Patriots for not making it happen than they do blame Tom Brady for leaving. That's my feel.
No, that's understandable. It's a good take on it. So, well, Tom Brady is gone, and he's not coming back. Gronk went with him. You know, obviously he came out of retirement to go with him. But, you know, now the Patriots, NFL season's going to be, you know, starting in a couple of weeks here. And you got a couple of quarterbacks there, one of them being Cam Newton. And, you know, Bill Belichick is still there. You know, they still have most of their defense, but a couple have opted out. You know, a few people have opted out for, you know, COVID-related reasons. You said, don't worry. You know, they're going to be at the top, you know. So talk to us. You think that they could take that division? And you know, with the Bills on the rise now and two defensive, huge defensive players on the shelf?
So listen, Bills might win 9 or 10 games. They should make the playoffs if they live up to their potential. I'm still going to take the Patriots, and that is because that's what Bill Belichick has done here. He's given you a reason to believe for two straight decades. So, yeah, is the quarterback situation different? Yeah. Defense is definitely different than it was last year. But what can that guy do? I mean, let's look at the track record. He can coach defense. So would I have liked to have seen him try to, like, go out and get Earl Thomas just for the sake of getting a veteran leader on that defense? Yeah, I would have liked it. We just freed up $20 million in cap space. Go spend it to try to bring in someone to bolster the team right now, even if it isn't necessarily the best fit or a position of need. They're going to have to rely very heavily on guys like Kyle Duggar, like a rookie that's coming from, you know, what? And I love Kyle Duggar. I had him on my podcast. I think he's going to be tremendous. It's a big ask for someone that didn't have a real preseason to get up to speed. Yeah. So you kind of have aging vets on defense. The defensive line, the front seven in general, is just not going to be what we're used to. But we saw this before. The bend but don't break defense worked. We got to see if it can be reincarnated and brought up. Guys like Chase Winovich are going to have a second year under the belt. Maybe we get some edge guys that step up. But, I mean, it's just not going to be the same. Cam Newton certainly has a different style than Tom Brady. We've been running back by committee for a while, so that doesn't really change much. It's just, you know, can a guy like N'Keal Harry step up? You know, does Julian Edelman still have enough juice while we're kind of figuring out what this new version of the Patriots offense can look like? But listen, when you have Cam Newton, former MVP, a guy that's been to the Super Bowl, who has a chip on his shoulder, is really trying to get his next contract and really get paid, I'll take a motivated Cam Newton, Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels doing their thing to get you to 10 wins. Even if it's an ugly, the first 10 weeks of our schedule are going to be brutal. It might be like a 5-5 start, but we don't really lose in November or December. So we'll be right there. I'm not guaranteeing to win the division. I basically am, but we'll be in the wild card worst case.
Yeah. You sound like a Yankee fan in the 90s. But anyway, so yeah, we touched on the podcast. So Leo, let's just find out a little bit more about it. Somebody over here from
Victory Sports. That's right.
Okay. So I guess that's one of your partners. So yeah. So talk to us about Victory. You know, let's start with Victory Sports and what it is.
So Victory is really the brainchild of Chris Haddad, who I know through a mutual friend. The three of us run the platform together. But Chris really had this idea as a high school football coach of, you know, what or why are my players limited to what I know or what their previous coaches know? Let's try to work to make a platform where anyone can learn football, the ins and outs, the rules, the offense, from the fundamentals. We're not trying to say, hey, man, this is how you run a 3-4 defense when you run a cover two and you want to blitz from the – nope, just get your bearings so that you can play the game. There's a lot of platforms out there that really will get into the high-level stuff. So we wanted to make sure that we had the fundamentals covered so that anyone from the casual fan to a young athlete that's just trying to get into it, let them be able to learn. Don't be limited by your coach. So Chris hit the ground running with this idea, brought in our other partner, Brian Woolard. They essentially started it together, and I came on a little after. They're kind enough to call me a founding partner, even though it's a little bit of a stretch. I knew that I did not know as much X's and O's wise as they did because they played college football. They were all about this from the jump. But what do I know? I know athletes. There's a couple pictures behind me. I kind of have an idea of who's played in the NFL. So I said, all right, if you guys want to focus on that, I'll jump on the podcast, try to grow brand awareness. Ultimately, we end up rebranding the Victory Sports Podcast to Beyond the Helmet. Just a little bit easier to say, you know, a little catchier. And along that way, I just started grinding, trying to reach out to players. Would anyone be interested in telling their story? And we got guys immediately to jump on. So for just over 2 years now, I've had the incredible privilege of talking to over 130 NFL former players and coaches and sometimes some related professionals about their ride to success. How did they got there? What made them successful? What makes great teams? You know, how did you overcome adversity? How did you come back from tearing your knee or getting cut from your team? It's all the things that could let you quit. I want to figure out how to best overcome them. And that's what the podcast is. It's really just a success podcast through the lens of sports. And it's been the most fulfilling thing I've done professionally. I can promise you that.
No, that's awesome, Steve. You know, what are some of the things you've learned about some of these players? You know, some of their stories, some of their adversity. Like, what are some of the things that you did not know before you started this podcast? And as you've spoken to over 130 players, that you were like, wow, I didn't know that. Or you know, that's not something that I would have thought of that they would have to deal with. So tell some of our viewers, what are some of the things that you uncovered as you interviewed these NFL players?
Honestly, they are so much more different than alike. It is actually insane to think that you would have two similar conversations just because two guys are athletes. And for the record, I have had Coach Jen Welter on. I've been able to interview one female former NFL coach. So I say guys, but it's guys plus one. Shout out to Dr. Welter. But I mean, these guys are as diverse in their backgrounds, their upbringings. Did they play multiple sports or not? Did they have to go to JUCO, which essentially means they weren't highly recruited to get that Division I scholarship, so they had to go to a junior college. If you ever watched Last Chance U, there's so many guys that have to go that route just for a shot for a team to afford them the chance for them to go pro. I mean, there's just no straight path to get to the NFL. So many guys have done it so many different ways, including Corey Jackson, who was a basketball player through college, ends up backdooring his way into the NFL. I mean, there's just such a tremendous amount of stories of how guys can get there. But just the path alone, I mean, how guys think about things, how hard they had to work versus how much was talent. It's no different than finding two strangers on the street and talking to them about how they view the world. They are that different. The fact that just no two guys can be put in the same, I want to say box, but I'll end this rant with saying these guys should never be put in a box as an athlete. It is almost down to a man. The sport is the thing that they did. Some chose to then get into broadcasting or coaching and be a lifer in that sport, but do not call them an athlete, because these guys are just as well-rounded as any individual that you'd find. They have all these other interests, and football provides a platform for them to then go do other things. And that's something that I really misconstrued as a fan, was that this is what you do. You are this player for this team. And, you know, I want you to, you know, go and die out on that field for me, when it's just like, no. Like, you got to take a couple steps back. And that's really how my fandom is just as strong as ever, but it's definitely transformed into being a more neutral party as to how you look at the product on the field when you realize the human beings that are involved.
Right. And then you also talked to them about their transition from the game to the private life. So tell us how that takes place. I mean, are there certain courses that the NFL puts together too? I mean, some of the stories I've heard of the struggles of players trying to adjust to the afterlife of the NFL. So tell us how they sort of go from being this star NFL football player and all this adulation to now having to go into the real world, broadcasting, starting businesses, how they are able to transition into that life.
I've been told over and over again that, you know, there's only so few that are the actual stars that don't need to worry about it. Like, Rob Gronkowski would have been fine if he never played again. But, you know, love of the game, still young, he comes back. So many guys don't have that option. The game quits on you before you quit on the game is something that I've heard over and over again. So most of these guys get caught off guard. Most of these guys then go through a depression of sorts because it's an identity crisis. It's, no. I'm a famous football. I get paid a lot of money. People know who I am. I can't just be this guy on the couch. I don't have a plan B. So while it doesn't happen to everyone, one thing for sure is that the NFL absolutely, through whether it's the Players Association, the NFL itself, there are things you can do while you're a pro to help get you ready. There's internships, externships. The NFL will set you up while you're playing so that you can get experience with other areas, completely separate from sports. But beyond that, they will help you work through not being an athlete anymore. But it's completely dependent on the player to reach out and get those resources. So some guys do, some guys don't. You know, some guys go through a really tough time. Some guys are like, thank God that's over. I'm so happy I don't have to put that helmet back on. I can't wait to do X. I got my degree in it way back when, and I'm good to go. it's just as varied as the stories these guys go through to actually playing on the stage.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that, and I have a couple of friends, colleagues that they're starting a company pretty much that that helps college athletes that really don't make it to the big stage, and tries to figure out who they are and how they can move forward in a non-football world. And it's great that what they're doing. We'll have them on the podcast at some point. Let's talk about some of the people that you've spoken to. I listened to the Logan Paulson one just today. That was great. But you have some great names on here. Lofa Tatupu, Osama Young. You have our boy Bryce Petty. From the Jets over there.
All three tremendously good people.
I'm sure, but I don't want to obviously make you pick any favorites, but is there any interview that really stands out to like something that like just blew your mind, on all these things that you've talked to them about?
Yeah, so there's a couple, and I appreciate you saying don't pick a favorite, because honestly, it's I don't have any children, but I'd imagine to an extent it's kind of like, what's your favorite kid? But even then, I feel like I'd probably be able to pick one. Everyone is different, and you get impacted by someone's stories differently. So what blows me away is when there is an incredibly talented orator. Like Lofa hit home for me because he literally played two towns over for me. I knew who he was in high school. So to actually know him, his dad being the football coach of my two business partners, like the Tatupu family meant a lot to me. So to have that conversation really hit home, and then to find out that Lofa is a great guy beyond that, everything that he does. But for like Brian DeMarco was a high. So Tony Piselli, I don't know if Tony's in the Hall of Fame or not, but should be if he isn't.
He should have 100%. Yeah.
Left tackle for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The expansion franchise opens. They draft him first pick. Second pick in the draft, right tackle, Brian DeMarco. They're fortifying the offensive line because they want to make sure that this whole thing is going to work. And you're getting anywhere if no one blocks. Brian only plays in the league a handful of years before he has debilitating injuries to the point where his back is rotting. He's basically barely alive and cannot walk. He's borderline morbidly obese because of this, and the NFL isn't helping him at all. And he has this tremendous story that he can shorten to like 15 minutes where you are completely captivated, completely in awe, and I'm just sitting there. I'm on the ride with him. Just listening to it, you're like almost moved to tears with what this guy went through and how he overcame it. And now he's very successful, comes out the other side of that, being told he would never walk again unassisted, to being in phenomenal shape. So you when someone just rocks your world with a story like that, by their ability to be a storyteller, it just takes you for a ride. And I could go on and on, but another name I'd put out there is Jared Odrick. He was one of the, I think he was like the 16th, 17th episode I had done. I had no business being in water that deep over my head. I thought I was going to have a football talk. This guy came in and there was a presence. Like he stole the show with his ability to speak. And he was the first time I realized that I'm not talking to an athlete. I'm talking to a very sophisticated person who played a sport for a couple of years. So when I get a chance just to get my mind blown by people that are smart and can really articulate their story, those are the people that, just they stick with you. You can't shake them, some of the stuff that they put at you. And honestly, there's moments in every single conversation that I'm like, wow, I haven't heard that before. In a good way. It's stuff that's like, it's a different way to look at something. It's a different way to verbalize something very similar you heard before, but this new way really resonates. And that's something that I found, again, every single time, is that there's always something someone brings to the table that you're like, whoa, never heard that. That means something. I'm writing that down right now.
That's amazing. And I'm definitely going to be listening to a couple of those episodes, if not all. I'll put it in my podcast player and Spotify it up. and binge them. So we talked about, you know, the ones that have been on the show. Are there any ones that you would like to have on the show?
I made a list of people that I would love to talk to. And I got to tell you, Kobe Bryant was at the top of that list. Didn't care that he didn't play football. You know, when you just look at who has the track record, the mindset, I need to get inside that guy's brain. I need to know how he thinks, how he wins so consistently, so at times makes it look so effortlessly that that's the way that I work. But as I found, you know, it's sometimes the guy that you hadn't heard of that has the best story. And so as time goes on, I care less about who I talk to, you know, of course, within the realms of like, it has to be, you know, what I'm looking for in terms of an athlete to have the type of show I want. But it's more about, can I bring the most out of my guest? Can I actually get them to open up and really share something that no one else would hear them say if they were just talking, you know, regular sports update with or about whichever team? So, I mean, that being said, it's still, you know, I want to get people while they're still alive, which is a little morbid to say, but like I look at the oldest living Hall of Fame guys and I want them on my show first. That's how I approach it. Because I want to get the stories before they're gone. I had the privilege of talking to Earl Christie, who played in Super Bowl III. I don't know how many times. Awesome. So I'm New York, right? Give it up for your Jets. I got a chance to talk to someone that, you know, played on that team with Joe Montana. Sorry, Joe Namath.
Joe Namath.
To get his, you know, actual, you know, perspective from the sideline for that game, like that's the type of stuff that I live for. To have Fred Biletnikoff on, it's like, well, you have an award named after you. You probably did something pretty good at receiver. You know, that's what I want, the stories before they're gone.
That's incredible. You know, you spoke to Akeem Pence on your podcast, and it says the NFL doesn't care about its athletes. Is that a common theme in the league? I mean, is that a lot of thought that players have that the NFL just doesn't care about them? They sort of use them 2-3 years, guys get hurt, and then they just kind of, you know, throw them out of the league. I mean, is that a common belief within the league?
You know, it's really for me to answer that. I don't have much to stand on, but I can tell you that what has happened just since March, the NFL put together a new CBA, and that CBA is garbage for most people related to football. It certainly helps some in some areas, but they diminished the benefits for retired players, which, by the way, everyone in the NFL will be a retired player at some point. You all shot yourself in the foot for the future because most of you aren't going to coast on your NFL money forever.
Right.
Because most of you, you know, it's just that top 10%, 5% of guys that actually get to financially be in that spot. So Akeem was upset about the CBA, the fact that it's done in the offseason. Guys aren't paying attention. They're not fully informed. They vote on it. It goes through. COVID happens. He, although a free agent, so there he was looking through the lens of not being affiliated with a team, you know, felt that the NFL was doing a poor job of communicating. To the best of his knowledge, there were not good protocols or health standards, regulations, anything that was being done. And on top of that, you add in the racial tensions. He felt like the NFL had dropped the ball going back to Colin Kaepernick. So he just felt that all this is brewing over time and that the NFL looks at its players as just an asset for them to have the game. They don't really care about you. They'll take care of the top guys, but right, for the rest of you, you know, you're just the infantry. We're rolling you out there and, you know, whatever happens, happens. Does the whole league feel that way?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's not alone. He would say that the guys on teams that are afraid to speak because they don't want to be cut, he has a lot of people supporting him, and I'm sure he does. But I just don't know how many people, you know, I couldn't guess a percentage of the league that really would agree or disagree.
Yeah, and also, you know, I'm curious, you know, these guys, they play, they give up their bodies, their limbs. After it's all said and done, and they look back in their career, do a lot of these guys have some regret about playing the game? Maybe they could have done something else. So they say, you know what, if I had to do it all over again, it's the best experience of my life, I would have played. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? You think guys look back on it, maybe some of them with regret, or, you know, they're sort of happy to have played the game? Knowing what we know about an injury.
I think you can only Sure. So I think you can only really regret something. You know, I have an MBA in economics. So one of my favorite concepts is opportunity cost. You know, what was that cost of that opportunity for you to play football? For a lot of guys, it was nothing. It was that or some regular job. And the chance to play a game for a living, you know, hopefully make millions. For a lot of guys, it was a no-brainer. You know, you really have to ask the guys that paid the largest physical toll if it was really worth it. I mean, Lofa Tatupu would do it again. I mean, he felt so good after, coming up with Zona and his CBD product. I mean, he's ready to get back out there now. So, I mean, a lot of guys, to get away, they'll be okay. I mean, Brian DeMarco is probably the best person to ask, would he do it again?
Yeah.
And I think what I recollect about his upbringing, it's a no-brainer for him that he would do it again because that was his ticket out. The one guy that really stands out for me, though, is Cedric Benson. I think he, if I recall this correctly, he was just like, I would go back and I would have played for the Dodgers. He would have gone baseball instead of football. Wow. And I think that was primarily based on how his relationship with the media unfolded. I mean, I never spoke to someone that I felt that they felt so betrayed by the media that no one knew who they were. They kind of got typecasted as being a bad guy. And right. because he's on the quieter side, he didn't really do anything. He wasn't outspoken to really advocate for himself or anything. He just kind of felt like he got the shaft and no one in the media really liked him or gave him the time of day. And therefore, teams didn't really like him because of this misnomer of who he was. So he was the only guy that was like I asked him something to the effect of something about when he was growing up, what would he, maybe had done differently. And I think he was just like, I would have played baseball.
That's incredible.
From a guy who was an absolute animal playing running back, who, if, you know, maybe, and so much of the guys in the NFL, it's a bad match between skill and scheme. So a lot of guys don't have a chance to really flourish that otherwise could have. Man, he's one of those guys, if he was on a different team, you know, if he doesn't go to the Bears, have the holdout, and have his whole thing start on the wrong foot, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, you know, me, just my personal opinion on the CBA, I feel like, you know, the NFL definitely gets the short end of the stick as
100%.
As far as all the other sports go, you know, and baseball obviously gets the best of the bunch. I mean, you know, they really get taken care of for sure. And football players are putting so much on the line, you know, it's, you know, such a violent sport and, hopefully they can figure something out going forward to make it a little bit better for these players. But let's, we're up against the clock here, but, you know, so tell our viewers, you know, where they can find the podcast and more about Victory.
Yeah, so I mean, if Matthew Dellavedova is going to get guaranteed like 40, 50 million, like
exactly.
That, listen, I'll stand up for an Australian white point guard every day of the week, but that guy's money's guaranteed. And the guys that are like actually putting it all on the line, like some of them are making, you know, a couple hundred grand. Yeah. You know, come on, let's just even out a little bit. So victorysports.com is our website. Again, the podcast is called Beyond the Helmet. So if you Beyond the Helmet has its own Twitter handle, everything else is Victory Sports, but I'm at Steve McGrath Jr. I'm constantly on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, posting about different guests that we've had on. I love bringing up old clips. Cause like I said, every time I have someone on, there's 7 to 10, whether it's a quote or a clip that just really illustrates a point. And a lot of it's giving credit to another coach or another player that really helped them see how to be a professional in a different way. So if you are into athletes and what makes a successful one, how to take that and succeed off the field or off the court, Beyond the Helmet's where you need to go.
Nice. Steve, awesome. a final one for me. Aside from Belichick, what's the one coach, aside from Belichick, that you are on your top of the list that you want to interview?
I mean, if the chance had ever come up, Bill Walsh would have been number one on the list.
Absolutely.
For just innovating the game the way that he had. You know, Bill Parcells would certainly be very high in that list. But I mean, Greg Popovich, who would not want to talk to someone that has his resume? I mean, it's unbelievable. And obviously there's a lot of good young name guys like, you know, Sean McVay, and even, you know, maybe, you know, the Colts or the Eagles start to get on a run or something and one of these teams really emerges.
Yeah.
But give me the guys with the track record, regardless of the sport. I mean, Don Shula. Like, give me someone that's been there and walked the walk. I don't care about who's hot now. I want to be able to look up in the rafters. If that jersey's up there, that's the guy I want to talk to.
That's incredible. That's awesome, man.
Awesome. And real quick, so we do an NFL preview, and we hit up one division every week.
Hey, I saw NFC South. That was the other reason why I had this on.
NFC South today. So let's ask your opinion. The over-under is set at 9.5 for the Buccaneers.
Over.
All right. We'll break it down in a few minutes, but Steve says over. And, you know, face value, that's going to be over as well. But we'll break down the games.
All I have to say is don't forget what happened to the Broncos when Peyton Manning went there. When he showed up, that franchise all of a sudden became professional overnight. They went from like the college dorm room wardrobe to the to business attire overnight when he showed up. And it's going to be the same thing here. When Tom Brady walks in the door and you're used to Winston, and that's nothing against, you know, Jameis Winston, but like when it's Tom Brady, now everyone's like, oh, and I don't just mean players. I mean trainers, coaches, management, all the way up. Everyone's like, it's game time. He just as a competitor makes everyone better. You bring in Gronkowski, who's done it. The offense is loaded. Bruce Arians, what he did with Carson Palmer, I'm great. Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, that offense could light it up. But I mean, like, this is just the same amount of firepower. The only question is, what will their defense do? Yeah. And what, you know, how much does Shady McCoy? What can Rojo do?
Right.
I'll take the over on that, though. There's,
I no you question. Said, you know, he brings a new life to that franchise. And look, Tom Brady leaves New England and 8 people opt out. He goes to Tampa Bay. One backup is the only person to opt out. So it's like everyone is buying in. They're all in with Tom Brady over there. So yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be the over.
But gentlemen, let me remind you of one thing. When Peyton Manning went to the Broncos, he was still in his mid-30s. I mean, we're talking about a 43-year-old quarterback. You know, father time eventually has got to catch up to him. So that's the only concern. If I was a Buccaneers fan, is father time catching up with Tom Brady at 43 years old? Can he still do it? Does he still have the gun? Let's see if he can handle it. Let's see if he can do 16 games, you know, especially 8 down there in that heat. Let's see what he can do.
The only question is, you know, Bruce Arians has no problem getting his quarterbacks to roll out, get out of the pocket. How much does that limit, or how much does he push Tom to do that? And all it takes is one play. All it takes is one missed assignment and Tom to take a bad hit and it could be over. And that to me would be the worst ending to this book, is that's how it goes down. I would love to see him tear it up. I think that he will. Listen, man, the TB12 method. I got the book right there. The TB12 method. I'll grab it for you. It's real.
Victory Sports, everybody. Take a look. Steve McGrath, Beyond the Helmet, the podcast. Tune in. It's a great show. Steve, thanks for coming on tonight, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on. Yeah, victorysports.com, Beyond the Helmet. Check them out, you know, anywhere their podcasts are on. All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Take it easy.
Man, that was a great interview, man. That was awesome.
Great interview.
Absolutely. That guy, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. You know, it's some great, you know, interviews that he's had, you know, and it's definitely going to start binging a little bit of them, you know.
But you know, it's funny when he was talking about like Brian DeMarco, like, well, we don't see that. Like once they leave the game, how beat up these guys are, how battered their bodies are. Like, you know, those are the things that we don't see. And like the transition to the real world isn't easy for those guys. So it's good that, you know, there's an avenue out there for them to tell their stories and share that with people. So people can see what it's really like, that it's not just cheers and, hey, it's great or whatever. Like there's a real life after all that.
I know it's it gets lost. You know, you don't realize it from this side of the coin. You know, it's, you know, at the end of the day, they're still regular people.
Yeah.
You know, and that have gone through hell and back. Some of them. So it's crazy. So Well, I guess we can start with the Buccaneers for the NFC South.
We can start with the Bucs.
But, I mean, we mentioned, you know, Tom Brady's there, Gronk's mm-hmm. there, LeSean McCoy is there, Godwin, Evans are still there. You know, they have a up-and-coming defense. Arians is the coach, you know, so 9.5 as far as the over-under. I feel like that's easy. But they started off at New Orleans.
That's a loss.
Then they got versus Carolina. I see them winning that one. So yeah, 1-1. At Denver.
I think we did. Did I give this one to Denver?
I think we did because you like Denver.
I like Denver. Yeah, man. 1-2.
1-2. Then they got versus the Chargers.
That's a win.
2-2. At Chicago.
Then we gave that to them. That's 3-3.
3-2.
3-2. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's a Thursday night game, but regardless, it's Brady.
Right.
First Green Bay.
That's America's game of the week at home. I think we gave it to the Bucks.
I believe so as well. Yep. So that's 4-2. At the Raiders.
That's a travel, man. Sunday night, 8:20, traveling. I think we give it to the Raiders, right?
I think we might have, yeah. So what do we got? 4-3?
3.
At the Giants. Monday night. I have to give that to
Brady.
To Brady there. 5-3, right?
Yeah.
Versus New Orleans in Tampa Bay. I give that to Brady.
Yep.
And that was a Sunday nighter.
It's a Sunday night as well.
6-3 at Carolina. Mm-hmm.
At Carolina. Did we give this one to the Bucs? I think we did. They're just Brady versus whoever they have at quarterback. Yeah, I'm going. Well, they got Teddy Bridgewater starting over there, right?
Yeah.
That's I give it to that. So that's 7-3 right there, right?
Yeah, 7-3. And if I recall, the Buccaneers' run defense was pretty stout last year.
Yeah.
So they could actually, didn't they beat them last year? The Bucs beat Carolina, like really shut them down one week, right? And McCaffrey had like two fantasy points, I think it was.
Yeah, it was. I think it was one of his worst games, actually, right?
Yeah. I recall that. So I think Arians might have their number a little bit. So that puts us at 7-3. So they need 3 more wins to hit the over. And you got first the LA Rams at home.
That's a Monday night. They got to travel.
No. Tampa Bay. In Tampa Bay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the Rams got to travel.
Oh, the Rams got to travel. Yeah.
Yeah. Did we give that to the Bucs?
I think we did.
Maybe. It's just late. It's starting to get late in the season, right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The Rams are traveling. They're younger. I'll go with Brady.
Okay. So that makes it 8-3. Then you got Mahomes coming to town.
Yeah, it's a loss. They're not beating the Chiefs.
8-4. Then they got a bye week. So they'll be rested versus Minnesota at Tampa Bay. I've given that to Brady.
9-3.
At Atlanta.
10-3.
I say maybe they split the Atlanta games, but they're last 2 out of 3.
All right. So let's give them. So what are you going to give them? 11-5? They're beating Detroit.
They got at Detroit. So they're beating them. Yeah. So what do we have? 9-3 after week 12, 10-3, 11-12. Yeah.
12-4?
Yeah, 12-4.
Yeah.
12-4. And you know what? None of them is really too much of a stretch.
No.
You know, I think that's absolutely doable. And if they get 2 upsets, they're still hitting the over.
Exactly. Like I said, my only concern is that Brady ages overnight. Yes. Dude.
No, of course. If Brady can't, and that, you know, that's with anything, you know, when we're making these you know, these predictions, you know, you gotta assume that, you know, they're gonna be healthy for the majority of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, but 12-4, 11-5 is a distinct possibility if everything plays out. Where do you want to go next?
Let's go. You want to do Saints?
Or
you want to do Falcons?
Yeah, let's go Falcons.
Let's go the Falcons. You know,
you know, Brady and Matt Ryan have a nice little history together.
Yeah, so. Exactly. 28-3. He still hasn't gotten over it.
Oh no, the whole team hasn't.
Yeah. All right. Organization.
So
they're home for Seattle.
The Falcons are set at 7.5.
I don't know that they make 7.
So Seattle comes to town. That's a West East matchup, but it's opening week. You know, it's a lot more prep time. I think Seattle takes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like Seattle.
So I got 0-1 at Dallas.
0-2.
Give that to Dallas. 0-2.
Yeah.
First Chicago, I give that to the Falcons.
Yep. 1-2.
1-2 at Green Bay.
1-3.
1-3. First Carolina in Atlanta, I could give them that one. 2-3.
Okay.
At Minnesota.
2-4.
4. Versus Detroit at home. 3-4.
Yeah, I give that same. I'm with
at
you.
At Carolina. Carolina's winning that game. Thursday nighter.
Yeah.
3-6. Versus Denver in Atlanta. I'm pretty sure we gave
it to Denver. We gave it to Denver. Denver's my sleeper. I gave that to Denver.
3-7. Then we got a bye week. Then they got at New Orleans. 3-8.
3-8.
Raiders come to town.
Did we give that to the Raiders?
I think we gave it to the Falcons.
All right, so we'll give it to the Falcons.
4-8.
Yeah.
Then New Orleans comes to town.
I don't know. I don't see them splitting it. I just see New Orleans is just going to beat them. I think we gave that to New Orleans.
All right, so we got 12 games. So that's 4-8, I believe. I think we were at 7 before. Then at the Chargers.
Justin Herbert will be starting by then. I think we gave that to the Falcons, no?
I think
even though they're traveling, they still got, you know.
So that's 5-8. Then they got
Kansas City and Tampa.
Two of their last three at Tampa. And we split those, right?
We split those, yeah.
So what do we got? So that's 6-9.
6-9,
and then they got at Kansas City. So that's at Kansas City. I mean, come on. So 6-10, they're falling short by two games there.
Yeah.
Let's leave the Saints for last. Let's go visit Teddy Bridgewater, CMC, and
Matt Rhule and the Carolina Panthers.
And the Luke Kuechly-less Carolina Panthers.
Correct. The Cam Newton-less Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, and him too. Well, I mean, they were Cam Newton-less last year. So.
Exactly. Yeah, but now he's gone for good. So.
But Luke Kuechly was obviously one of the. You know, one of the big pieces there that has since left.
Robbie Anderson.
They did. They signed Robbie Anderson. Yeah. Olsen's gone. He's over in Seattle now. So they lost that. Well, no, Olsen was out last year. He was a broadcaster, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And now he's back and he's in Seattle. All right. So the Panthers are set at 5.5.
Yikes.
And that's not the amount of touchdowns Christian McCaffrey is going to score a game. okay. So, all right. Versus the Raiders.
I think we gave them a win.
I think we gave the Raiders that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 0-1.
At Tampa Bay, 0-2.
0-2.
At LA Chargers.
I think we gave him Carolina the win there.
You think so? Yeah.
I think so, yeah. Because the Chargers are just bad, man.
1-2. Then Arizona comes to town on a travel.
2-2.
2-2. At Atlanta. 2-3. We gave that one to Atlanta.
Yep.
Yeah, the first one. 2-3 versus Chicago.
3-3.
They can get that. At New Orleans, 3-4 versus Atlanta. We split the Atlantas, so that's 4-4.
Okay.
At Kansas City, 4-5.
Right.
We had Tampa Bay sweeping, right?
Yes.
Okay, so 4-6 versus Detroit. 5-6. Yeah, because it's at home.
Yeah.
At Minnesota. Minnesota takes that one.
Yep. 5-7.
5-7. Versus Denver. You love Denver. 5-8.
I love Denver. 5-8.
Then you got at Green Bay.
5-9.
Then you got at Washington, and
I think we gave. Did we give that to?
I don't know. I think I gave that one to Washington.
Okay, so we'll go. So
you have to win a couple of games.
So we're
something.
Got it. So you give it to Washington, and then the loss at New Orleans. So you got them at 7 wins.
No.
We got them 6.
No, I think we had them at 5.
Is that 5?
Yeah.
Jeez, I don't know how to count.
Just missing it, but they could take the Washington and go on the over.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, wow. So we got them at 5 wins.
That's 5 interesting. Wins. But yeah. You know, I mean, hey.
You never know, man. I mean, you just don't know what could happen during the season.
You never know, but I think Washington wins that game.
Got it.
There. All right.
Last but not least.
The New Orleans Saints. Who them there gonna beat them Saints? Well, I'm sure some of them will. They're projecting that 5.5 teams beat them Saints. So 10.5 is the over-under. So versus Tampa Bay, we gave that to the Saints because it's in the dome. So 1-0. At Las Vegas, we gave that to the Saints, I believe.
Yep, that's 2-0.
Versus Green Bay in the dome, 3-0.
3-0.
At Detroit, pretty sure we gave that to the Saints as well.
4-0.
Versus the Chargers.
5-0.
Bye week. Then Carolina, we gave them that one. So
yeah, 6-0.
6-0. At Chicago. I mean,
America's game of the week.
Yeah, but I think we gave that one to New Orleans, though.
Did we? All right. 7-0.
Yeah, and then.
Then their first loss comes at Tampa.
Loss at Tampa. 7-1.
Yeah.
Versus San Fran.
I think we gave that to the Niners, didn't we? Because they won it there last year, no?
They did. They've been pretty good there.
Yeah.
7-2.
Home to Atlanta. 7-3.
Atlanta, they gave. No.
8-2. Sorry. Yeah.
8-3.
Okay.
No, 8-2. You're right.
Eight and two. Yeah.
At Denver.
4 o'clock game. 8-4. Denver's gonna win that game.
8-3.
I'm sorry.
And then at Atlanta, did we have them splitting, or did we have? Yeah, we had them splitting.
Splitting. Yeah. Okay.
That's 8-4. Then okay. At Philadelphia.
I think we gave that to the Saints on the road.
Okay. 9-4 versus Kansas City in the dome.
9-5.
Yeah, but they take Minnesota in the dome. 10-5.
10-5. And then at Carolina. At
Carolina. We gave that to the Saints, I believe.
So 11-5.
Splitting. 11-5. Yeah, it's right there.
It's right there. It's gonna be close. It's gonna be interesting, man.
The only one that comfortably hit their over was the Buccaneers.
Right, exactly. But it's going to be interesting, man, because those two competing for the NFC South, you know, I could see the Saints winning that division easily, man. I mean, I really could. I mean, a couple of games here and there, and the Buccaneers having some stumbles, I could see them winning that division.
It kind of stinks that, you know, I mean, it's great that Breeze and Brady match up week one.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, their last game against Tampa Bay is week 9. Like, it would have been nicer to have it a little later in the season, you know, with the Saints. Obviously, they didn't know about Tom Brady going there because the schedule was out well in advance.
Yeah.
Or else they would have done something like that. But, yeah, so it's an interesting division. And let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, and they have in that division, Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, three of the oldest quarterbacks in the league are in that division, which is just pretty incredible, man. Just their durability. So
20,000 yards thrown in that division.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I can't wait to see it, man. I'm just wondering if eventually, like I've been saying all show, you know, with the age factor, also with Brees, if it catches up to him.
Yeah. No, of course, but that's with anything.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what, but.
But you know that
they protect Brady.
Yeah, they're going to keep him standing up. But it's going to be a shootout every game, man. I see 30, 40 points a game with these teams, man. They're just going to fling it all over the field. It's going to be great.
That's going to be fun for fantasy, let me tell you. I got to make sure I have some Saints and Buccaneers in my lineup.
There you go. Yeah.
I got my draft on Sunday.
All right.
And for those of you that don't know, back-to-back champ, and it was Rick just decided to take a year off.
I had to take a year off.
He couldn't stand seeing me win all the time.
Yeah, he has the belt up on his mantle over there. I can't stand seeing that.
It's right above my head right now. Yeah.
I had to take a sabbatical, folks, but don't worry.
Yeah, he'll be back stronger than ever.
Exactly.
Next time. So let's hit on some news and notes. You know, you're talking about football, so we can't discount what happened with the Lions practice today. You know, they canceled to protest the shooting of a young man that it was yesterday was shot in police related shooting, and they wanted to protest it, and they canceled their practice. And I heard that the man is now paralyzed, and your prayers go out to him and his family. And the story is still developing, and when we know more, we could share it.
Yeah, it's such a tragic story, man. And I think a lot of these guys are torn between playing and doing their job, and at the same time trying to be part of the community and helping and try to lend their voices to see what they can do to sort of help. And I just think that the Lions, and I think this is going to be something that's going to reverberate throughout not just the NFL but the Major League Baseball. Obviously, you see it in the NBA. The Raptors and the Celtics are talking about boycotting game one of the second round of the NBA. And so it's just it's a tragic scene. But listen, these guys have a voice. If the more voice they can lend to the movement, I think it's great. Regardless if they play the game or not, I think it's great. I think they need more of it. And so if that's what they want to do, and they feel that's the way they can get some justice in this case, then God bless them.
We'll just have to, see what happens from here. But definitely want to send out the prayers to the man and his family.
Yeah,
It's
terrible, man. The guy's paralyzed. I mean, it's horrible.
I know. It's some of the things that his father was saying. Making me tear up a little bit. So it's
I mean, no father wants to ever go through that with a child, man. No, especially the guy. The guy was apparently breaking up a fight or something like that. I mean, come on, man. It's just.
Yeah.
When is enough enough? I mean, come on. It's just,
I know. I agree. We did have some good news coming out of the NFL, however, over the weekend. They administered 58,000 COVID tests. There were some false positives, but when they cleared up that, that little mishap, out of the 58,000, 26,000 plus were players,
right?
And there were 6 positive tests, 0 were players. So the other 6, probably coaches, game day staff, what have you.
Yeah.
But obviously, that big of a number being tested and only 6 positives, it bodes well for a season to be played and in full. So hopefully everyone could stay in their metaphorical bubbles. They don't have real ones. Where's Jake Gyllenhaal when you need him?
But it says that the players are doing the right thing. They're not going out, they're not doing anything that they shouldn't be doing, that they're focused on the game, they're focused on what they have to do. So that's a good sign for the league that these guys are doing the right thing. So, and I think we're gonna have a full 16 game season, playoffs and Super Bowl when it's all said and done. So this is good news, man. The more positive news, the better.
Yeah, it's certainly great news. What else do we have to touch on?
For all you soccer fans out there, Leo Messi has informed Barcelona, a team that he's played for since he was pretty much a child, that he wants to leave the team. That is big news in the world of soccer. I know in Spain over there, their fans outside the stadium wishing him well. I mean, look, nothing lasts forever. And, Brady leaving the Patriots and, that's just a perfect example. And look, it's time. Maybe he wants to go to another team in Europe where he can go and showcase his talents. But if that's what he wants to do, more power to him. But it's going to be a big blow to Barcelona. I mean, huge blow to them. I don't know how they recover from that.
Yeah, yeah, it's I'm looking at him right now. It's crazy. It's kind of like Tom Brady leaving the New England
Patriots. Yeah, exactly what it is.
You know, let's be real. So it's, I mean, let's see how it plays out and things like that. But it's certainly a culture shock, to say the least. You know, especially for everyone out there. So MLB trade deadline is coming up. Next Monday.
You see anybody making any moves? I don't. I mean, the Yankees might be in the business of making some moves, but I don't know, man.
Yankees have had half their team on the DL half this season.
Yeah.
Some Red Sox, I would say, are going to probably, hit the trade market. You know, Red Sox is just trying to restart. You know, they're trying to. I mean, they're trying to play like it's 1918, or what was it? What was the year that they traded Babe Ruth? Yeah, they're trying.
Is it 1918?
I think it was 1912. It was the same year the Titanic.
No, 1921 or something like that.
No, I think it was 1912. The same year the Titanic sank.
Is that when they traded him?
I remember that in Fever Pitch, the one guy said, you know when Babe Ruth was traded, the same year Titanic sank. No, he started in 1914. So I think it was 1918.
Okay, 1918. So it's funny. There was a pandemic then. Same kind of fire sale now. And here's the Red Sox just.
No, January 5th, 1920. You're right.
All right, yeah. They were still going through their own pandemic back then. But
yeah, I mean.
It's incredible. History repeats itself, man. But the Red Sox, they just won World Series.
It was 1920, January 5th, 1920.
Yeah.
You know, so it was 100 years ago, and 7 months ago here, so it was the same. It's a century ago. Babe Ruth was traded to the Yankees. That's a century ago. That's crazy.
Time flies, man. Time flies.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Man. I just look a little young for my age.
Exactly. The beginning of the roaring 20s back then. But yeah, I mean, look, the Red Sox just won a World Series a couple of years ago, man. They lost their manager. They lost Mookie Betts. I mean, they're just, it's falling apart over there. But look, that organization they're smart. They're resilient. Yeah, they know how to put a team together. In a couple of years, they should be back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they have more faith. I have more faith in them than I do the New York Metropolitans. Did you know that the New York Knickerbockers were the first New York team?
Yeah. Speaking of the Knicks, they got the eighth pick. And I've seen some memes out there on Twitter of people crying and destroying like computer keyboards and stuff like that. I mean, they can never catch a break. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's can't make this stuff up. Let's just say that.
Yeah, again, it's horrible. Yeah,
it's, but let's just hope that Tom Thibodeau can do something next year. I mean, let's see. So the Mavs are losing right now.
They are, okay.
Second quarter, 58-42.
Yeah.
The Nuggets beat the Jazz, so Utah's leading 3-2. The Lakers don't play today. Doesn't look like, no.
That series is 2-2, Mavs and Clippers, man. That series is 2-2, so it's going to be interesting.
Yes. Yeah, it's 2-2 right now. Then you got the Magic and the Bucks tomorrow. Everyone pretty much resumes action tomorrow. So let's see how NHL is doing. Just to give you a quick update here.
Yeah.
So the Lightning beat the Bruins, so they tied up the series.
Yeah.
The Stars we touched on before. The Golden Knights are losing, so it's only the first period. It's 2-0 Canucks right now.
Yeah.
And the Golden Knights are up 1-0. Islanders resume tomorrow against the Flyers. Obviously, there's no home and away. You know,
no, not at all.
The wonderful bubble life. You know, the Mets lost today, first game back since they had a positive COVID test. They could not play the Subway Series this past weekend, and they had to cancel their their series finale with the Marlins last Thursday. Yeah. So they have a lot of making up to do, and let's see how they're going to figure this out. They have to play, I think there's like 34 games in 34 days. So pretty much,
I don't know how these guys are going to hold up to that, man. That's just a torrid pace.
The Red Sox took the lead over the Blue Jays.
Well, there you go,
9-7, bottom of the ninth.
All right,
hey, Google's doing a nice little job over here with these scores.
With these score sports updates.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, they really optimized this. It's really nice.
Oh, I got to check that out.
Yeah, just type in MLB scores, and you know, you even have like this loading bar. They don't have like a full breakdown of like the pitch counts or nothing. But you know, for a full on scoreboard, it's so much because ESPN's so slow to load up.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. Look at that.
There's so much going on in the back end for ESPN that it just like it's so slow, and even MLB.com, NBA.com. Leave it to Google to figure out a way to optimize everything, right?
Hey, man, don't break them up. Let them be. Leave them alone. Let them be.
No, they're good. All right. So what do we got? We have any other news and notes that we missed up?
No, I think we're good for now.
Yeah, we got another great guest lined up for Thursday night. And we're going to hit the AFC South. A lot of changes over there from last year. DeAndre Hopkins is not in not on the Texans anymore. He's gone west.
Mr. Rivers is with Indianapolis right now.
Phillip Rivers is Indianapolis Colt. David Johnson joined the
Houston Texans.
And, it's a lot of Brandon Cooks. Went over to the Texans. Right. A lot of big changes. Obviously DeAndre Hopkins and Phillip Rivers being the biggest changes of that division. You know, Gardner Minshew still, over there in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill. Titans have pretty much stayed status quo, right?
Yeah. Hey, listen. At the end of the day, the king still rules over there. Man by the name of Derrick Henry. The king rules. King Henry. Yeah. That's his domain.
I like. We did forget one.
What's that?
Earl Thomas was cut by the Baltimore.
Oh yeah, I mean you can't be brawling in a practice and fighting people with the issues he's had in the offseason. And it wasn't just the coaches who wanted to get rid of him. I mean the team council that they have set up there. They're like, yo, we're done with this guy. And since he's left Seattle, he's just had a sort of, I don't know if it's a downfall, just so much stuff has gone wrong with him that I think he's like Antonio Brown needs to take some time away from the game. But I guess he'll probably end up at Dallas, and continue playing there. Or like Stevie was saying, if Belichick does what Belichick does and brings him over to New England, that wouldn't surprise me either.
I don't know. I don't know if he matches with the New England culture, but he did bring in Brown. But I feel like Belichick doesn't really have the patience for stuff like that.
Listen, the culture there is about winning. I mean, Belichick brought in Randy Moss. He brought in Corey Dillon. I mean, he brings in these guys who have issues outside, but once he brings them in there and they get them in that locker room and they get them in that environment, man, these guys change. You know, they just become different players.
Yeah, you're right. What brought up Earl Thomas was I saw a meme saying that Earl Thomas should go to the – and go play fullback for the Titans.
Oh, I saw that one. Yeah, yeah. That's another thing. I mean, he got humiliated last year in the playoffs. I mean, the guy just had a rough few months, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, all right. Our viewers have gone to bed.
So that's all right.
So until next time, Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be live again on YouTube and Facebook. Please view the descriptions below or above, depending on where you're watching. and contact our boy Steve McGrath. Go check out the podcast Beyond the Helmet. You'll hear from some great NFL players, current or former, and catch a few of those episodes. And if you want to learn a little bit more about the game, check out Victory Sports as well. All right.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't too familiar with football, want to learn a little more, definitely check out Victory Sports. It's definitely the way to go.
All right. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Peace.
See you on Thursday.